The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Overall satisfaction towards credit card issuers appear to have fallen, according to a study published by JD Power last month. Meanwhile, data from the Monetary Authority of Singapore also shows a downward trend in the number of credit card users in Singapore, from over 7.7 million main cardholders in October 2017 to just under 7 million in October this year. So how is credit card usage changing, particularly now that Singapore is embracing cashless payments? And joining us to tell us more is Rechna Alawat, co-founder of OnDot Systems. Rechna is speaking to us from San Francisco. Hi, Rechna. I understand that OnDot Systems is a service that helps banks give customers control over how they use their credit card and debit cards. Can you tell us a bit more about what your service is?
Thank you. It's good to be on this call. Mm-hmm. I'll keep it brief. OnDot is a very simple concept. The company was founded on the vision to empower consumers like you and I, so that we can take control of our own credit cards, debit cards, or whatever form of payment instrument we may be using. So we provide our software to the banks, and we are in talks with a large number of banks in Southeast Asia, and the services are provided before you make a transaction, as you're making a transaction, and after the purchase has been made.
Well, this sounds like it could save us who travel overseas a lot of money when it comes to those calls to the bank, because your platform has features to turn cards on, to turn cards off, to set temporary limits, and even control card use by geography. So based on data gleaned from card users, what have you observed of card users' habits?
Oh, very good question. It changes the user behavior in a very fundamental way. I'm not changing what I'm presenting to make my purchase. I'm still using my card. I could change to my phone because my card number is now inside my wallet. But one of the biggest changes that we've seen is that when you provide users something meaningful with their location, they're more open to sharing that. Just like, you know, when we travel from one place to another, we open up a map application. We want to see where we are going, what's the best route. Similarly, location also provides a very similar concept in payment industry. When my location is known to my bank can essentially give me this financial map that where there's a congestion, where there's a better route, but all to do with my banking and finances. It's almost like a digitally assisted computer empowerment. If I'm a student starting with a fresh, you know, right out of college, then I'm given some offers to convert my education into a loan that I can pay in a small increment. Mm-hmm. If I'm a mother of two, then I could be getting services that are tied to my lifestyle. As I'm beginning to get retired, then I may be getting better offers for the kind of things that will help me manage my post-work or retirement life better. So what we've seen is when you share data with your banks, the banks are able to customize what your financial map may look like. That's one of the big fundamental shifts we have seen. As more devices are being used for payment, that people are able to get better enriched services, and they like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rechna, credit cards can be considered the original cashless payment, especially now that Singapore credit card, cashless payment is such a big thing now. But now that the mobile payments are gaining popularity as well, how do you think the credit card usage trends are changing across in Asia?
I'll break this down into two parts. The first one is when basically your mobile phone becomes your card. So you take the card that's issued by one of the top banks that you've been using and put it, let's say, in your Apple Pay or Samsung or Android. In this case, the user behavior is just in what is presented, that instead of giving your card and tap and pay, you're using your phone to payment for making a purchase. So, you know, in this case, nothing really changes except that people don't have to carry their physical wallet or a plastic card along with the phone. The second one is actually more alarming, and some things that banks or your card issuers are more worried about, which is when you have this concept of wallet, that you actually move the money from your banking account into another wallet where it's easier for you to pay your caregivers or, you know, somebody who's taking care of your kids or your pet. In that case, the problem is significant because you can move, let's say, a couple of $100 or $1,000 into this wallet at the beginning of the month. And then you make all your purchases from that wallet, and your bank or card issuer no longer knows where you're spending money. I think banks have to compete with the second category more by giving the services that are more contextual.
Interesting, but consumer attitudes are clearly changing. The J.D. Power 2018 Singapore Credit Card Satisfaction Study suggested a drop in satisfaction towards credit card reward programs, which accounts for the fall in overall satisfaction towards credit card issuers in Singapore. So how do you think that card issuers and banks can take note of this and perhaps use reward programs to lure users back to the cards?
So when it comes to rewards, there is very little differentiation left. And Singapore particularly is a very interesting region because almost everybody has, you know, 4 or 5 cards. Mm. Now, how do you differentiate one card over other? Just as a consumer too, because you might be finding same rewards. And worse, you may not know that by pulling a card from Bank A, you're likely to get better offer than pulling a card from Bank B when you're just out for a dinner one night. So the problem is actually twofold. One is there's no differentiation in rewards and almost everybody is offering rewards. And the second problem is as a consumer, you may not know whether you're really utilizing those awards to the maximum benefits. So our take is consumers go where there's convenience. If bank is able to offer services that are tied to your transaction, you use your card for MRT, now you're able to get something that prompts you to use your card for local transportation more, rather than just have things happening behind the scene and you're seeing it only at the time of your statement. That constant reinforcement without an alert fatigue, we believe can help banks get significantly ahead because consumers are seeing value in using a certain card, which is beyond just monetary reward, but helps them better manage their day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is it in the bank's interest to encourage further credit card use or do digital and mobile payments bring greater benefits to banks?
I think the use of card is when banks also make enough money to provide you the services. So it's absolutely in the benefits of banks to help promote move towards cashless. Handling credit card, debit card transaction is a lot more economically feasible than having to deal with cash, for consumer as well as for the banks. So, and the more cards you use, the more money they make and the more services they're able to provide to you. So it's absolutely in the benefit of the banks. And what we are seeing banks do is because this now powerful device that a user is carrying, they're able to combine your location, your card usage, your phone capabilities, just simple thing as camera and map to give you a very rich experience. You pay your with your card at a parking meter, bank can prompt you and say, mark this location, mark the timer. Let's say you walk for 7 minutes, it's a 60-minute parking. At 53 minutes, you'll get an alert, time to walk back to your car or top it up. Now, all of a sudden, that card has a value because it's helping you better manage your day-to-day life and not struggle with the anxieties that come with it.
Well, not everybody wants their geolocation immediately known by their bank. So from the consumer's point of view, between credit cards or digital payments or cashless payments, are there differences in terms of which is secure, more secure than the other in terms of mode of payment?
You know, when it comes to managing security, I think all players in this financial ecosystem, they have a role to play. You know, regulatory authorities, Monetary Authority of Singapore, they are looking at consumers, what is good for them, and looking at the regulations. There are vendors or companies that are looking at your credit scoring, right? Then there are banks that are trying to keep preferences behind the scene so that if you happen to be in Singapore, but your card is being used in some other country, that it's stopped unless using your location, bank gets a confirmation that you're indeed in that different country. Similarly, customer also has a role. Now, customer has a very powerful device. And as soon as they get notified of a transaction that they didn't conduct, they can take an action, inform their bank or dispute or stop the card just by switching it off. But even before they get there, if they turn on their location, then card works only around them. Like when I come to Singapore now, I no longer inform my bank of where I am, mm-hmm. whether I'm in Singapore or, you know, Kuala Lumpur. My card is active only where I am. Just like my cellular carrier, my phone works only around me. Why is my card open for use everywhere else?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what are some of the most common struggles both banks and retailers face when adopting new payment technologies?
And it's true for us. It's true for most others that are coming in. In fact, there's a fundamental shift happening in the financial sort of a technology world. And it seems very similar to what had happened brick and mortar to online in late 90s. One of the biggest struggles that we see is there are a large number of legacy systems that are being used. Now, card processing, your transaction processing, it has to be done within few seconds. And these systems that have been put in place for decades are very complex. And we have to appreciate that. But they stop innovation from happening when it comes to digital work. So one of the biggest struggles we have seen our customers like banks or card issuers face is how do we add on capabilities on these legacy systems that have to be exposed on a digital or mobile first world without doing a rip and replace. And that's when companies like ours or fintech companies come in, that they become partner with the banks and we understand the digital, mobile, location, combination of all the various services and device capabilities. And we work with banks so that they don't have to touch the legacy systems, but consumers like you and I can get the latest and greatest that is offered to us by companies like Google, Netflix, and LinkedIn, so that they are at par with the other technologies used.
Okay, so our final question for you. Do you think that the popularity of other cashless payment modes could one day surpass the credit card? And when do you expect this to happen, Richna?
That's a billion dollar question. I think the trend is already in the right direction, that rather than using cashless, we are moving to credit cards. You know, I travel across the world. The only place where I don't have a local currency in my passport holder is actually Singapore. I no longer withdraw cash because I feel I'm safe using my credit card. I think this fundamental shift is going to happen when consumers start feeling safe about using their cards. They take out cash today, not because it's convenient, but because they don't feel comfortable using a credit card because they can't limit it.
Well, thank you so much for your insights. Richna Alawat is co-founder of OnDot Systems. We've been taking a closer look at what appears to be a decline in overall satisfaction towards credit card issuers. This according to a study by J.D. Power just last month.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.